Pratolini's Hardware and Garden Stores brings your Garage Logic podcast number 1,282, April 8, 2024. 83 degrees was the record high on this day. That was in 1931. Then it was 9 degrees on this day as recently as 1997.
You got any ice outs?
And Aquaside brings us the ice outs. If you own a lake home or if you have a pond on your property, call Aquaside. They're going to get rid of the weeds and the algae and the degenerating vegetation. Anything that would freak the kids out, this cleans it up. And the products are quickly used and they're safe. They work, I said that, they work quickly. They're registered with the EPA and the DNR, so even the fish don't mind. Mm. They'll come up and take a look at that and say, it's fine, it's all right.
Go somewhere else.
So weeds don't need to overtake your lake or pond this summer. Call Aquaside, tell them what you think your problem is, and they'll help you get the right products. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350. Or go to aquaside.com. And here are Aquaside's ice outs for April 8. Minnetonka, 1907, 1953, 1986, and 1991. White Bear Lake, 1934. And like Minnetonka, 1986.
Hello?
Got her.
Why isn't this playing? I am playing the Hail You Open.
Hail the flashlight. Hail the flashlight, King.
The extended play version.
We're having computer issues. I think my computer must have been attacked because of the solar eclipse.
Johnny, one of my employees went to Herbie Hancock and said it was a fine
really?
Concert. Yeah.
Like,
I don't think you played Rockin'.
What?
Yeah.
I apologize.
What are we doing here?
But I don't understand. We're just going to start the show.
Mode.
For some reason, my computer is glitching right now, so this is going to be problematic.
I think you're glitching.
The mayor of Garage Logic, Joseph.
Hail the flashlight, King.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Monday.
Esteemed town council members, guess what? We, most of us, are headed back to Target Field on Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky.
Are we going to sit where we sat last year?
I don't know for sure, but my guess is that would be the case.
Okay.
Good spot.
Bringing my glove this year.
You almost got killed, that's right.
So you don't get smoked by a foul ball again. It's a town council Target Field takeover on Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky. You can join all of us and cabinet members as we take over Target Field when Minnesota takes on Seattle Thursday, May 9th. It's a day game.
What time?
Thursday, May 9th. I believe it's 12:10. It's the Town Council Target Field takeover. Tickets are free for Town Council members on a first-come, first-serve basis. You can claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. If you're not a town council member yet, not a problem. Just join the council and then claim your tickets. You can learn more and claim your tickets today at GarageLogic.com. We're going to a ball game.
I'm bringing my gloves.
Are you going to buy us tickets to sit in the pontoon?
No, we don't have to. The tickets are free for town council members.
True.
Say the eclipse is just now getting underway, and it'll take place throughout the time we're on the air today.
Where did you first learn about the upcoming eclipse? And how long ago?
What do you mean? They're not that infrequent.
Right.
Why is the world going crazy for this one?
This is my question to you. Where were you when you first heard it? Because it's been covered for the last 3 weeks.
It's
an eclipse.
Yeah.
We've had them before.
Should we be the only podcast in America going wall-to-wall covering the eclipse?
Let's do it.
No, because I'll tell you what. Because
it's a visual thing.
There probably are podcasts going wall-to-wall with the eclipse.
You know what? You're probably right.
There's the Eclipse Podcast.
Sad.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't understand it. I wish the kids could get a shot at it today. It's very cloudy here. They're not going to see anything. They're not going to see much, if anything at all. You get totality in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing now called eclipse tourism. The other thing I read, here's a sign that it's over the top for the news, the conventional news gatherers, predicting or the warning of potential terrorism events where large numbers of people gather. So we're elevating the eclipse to a potential terror threat because people might stand around outside with their sunglasses on and look at it. Is that really fair? That it has to become a terrorism event?
Totality Talks, the Solar Eclipse Podcast.
I swear to God, there's probably there you go.
Join us as we delve into the captivating world of total solar eclipses, bringing you exclusive interviews with eclipse experts and enthusiasts.
Can you imagine that? Fellas, didn't our last president say he looked right at the eclipse and it was no big deal?
Yeah, he did.
Stared it down in the eye with any eye protection.
But he's got that so much awesome. Suntan crap in his eyes that he probably, the cream probably prevented him from getting danger.
Well, they brought him a big set of glasses, remember? He started looking, aides ran over and brought him the big glasses.
I remember that.
So that he put them on.
I am related to someone who drove down to Missouri with her mother.
Fail.
Today?
Yesterday.
It didn't happen yesterday.
Right, their timing was
right. Off. But they drove to Missouri yesterday.
Right, to be
get
ready
set
for it.
Up. Oh. So they could see the...
be damned.
Well, where are they at in dirty old Missouri?
Somewhere Branson? In the south east corner of the state. I don't know the exact city, but the south.
That's kind of the Branson area.
Yeah.
How insensitive would it be for me to wonder, I don't know the person's name, if one of the South Carolina players was a male? Is that a bad thing for me to wonder? One of them was playing on a female team, but
she was built
like a brick. You know what?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't know that, but
intimidating force underneath
and I
the
don't like the I don't like the South Carolina coach Dawn Staley because she, in her virtue signaling, said something to the effect that, well, if you identify as a woman, you should be able to play women's sports. I want to see what Staley would say if this Zach Edey showed up for Iowa and played against South Carolina. She would have been the first one to bitch and moan.
Right. My name is Patty Edey.
Yeah, I'm Patty Edey.
In fairness to the coach, don't you think it was kind of weird the way the question was asked and
refresh my memory.
It's a guy who works for Outkick, which is an organization concerned with issues of that sort.
Yeah.
He asked the question, got the answer, and left.
Well, but answer. I mean, was her answer.
Sure. What should she have answered if she thought that? Should she have just said no comment, or what should she have answered?
Well, for my worldview, she should have answered, absolutely not. No male should play on female teams.
Yeah, for your worldview, yes, but that's not the way she thinks. So
no, she's a phony.
Gave her answer.
And my contention, John, is she's a phony because you put Zach Edey on some team she faces and she's going to revolt.
Okay.
Because they would get beat. Now, if this insanity and this mental illness doesn't stop, what's the point in the future of playing basketball? If men are allowed, pretending to be women, are allowed to be on a woman's team, what's the point of playing? Because this insanity is showing no signs of stopping. Hi, everybody. It's nice of you to all pitch in.
Really a good start.
Stare at your computers with your mouth open.
Sports talk.
Well, my thought is you're never going to have a huge number. I don't think you're going to have a basketball team with, say, two males who might be playing female or vice versa, I guess, whatever. I don't know. How many times do you think the situation would arise?
I don't know, John. Probably never.
It doesn't that seem to only happen when it's an individual sport?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not interested anymore.
He's done.
I wasn't from the get-go.
I know,
so
I can tell.
He wore himself
out. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. College sports?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Get a life.
Because we were all just staring at the computer.
It's a hockey. I care about hockey.
I was on the Iowa Hawkeye Sports website.
So the Muslims for Ramadan, on the last day of Ramadan, had a big celebration in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a hotbed of our Muslim friends who have moved to the Detroit area. And I think it was, it's International Al-Quds Day. That's you would pour out all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Tariq Bazzi, a Michigan-based activist associated with the Hadi Institute, said in a video from the rally that was shared by the Middle East Media Research Institute. And Bazzi's comments were then followed by crowds chanting, "Death to America."
Ah, okay.
In America. Bazzi reasoned that the rallies held on the day are so anti-America instead of a focus on Israel is because the U.S. government that provides funds for all of these atrocities, pointing to Israel's continued siege of Gaza as an example. So it was death to Israel and death to America.
Okay, they're going there too for there.
To kind of even it out. The activist went on to quote Malcolm X, who said the U.S. is one of the rottenest countries that ever existed on this earth, while arguing to eliminate the entire American system, which is what's happening. So what we discuss daily at the University of Garage Logic.
They are in Detroit, so maybe they're just going firsthand experience.
It's not just Genocide Joe that has to go, Bazzi said, referring to Biden. It is the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. Maybe he meant to say on Allah's earth. I don't know. Celebrations of the day were controversial throughout the world, drawing a ban by German authorities in Berlin. Rallies to mark the day have been taking place in Dearborn for at least 20 years. And the town has become a hotbed of hate. You can see rallies and sermons in support of Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, noting that the threats emanating from the city have become more pronounced since the Hamas attack on Israel in October. Republican State Representative Phil Green told Fox News that he agrees with assessments of a growing problem in Dearborn and around the country, arguing that it saddens him to see the world's problems coming to our doorstep. Well, they're certainly here, aren't they?
Yeah.
This type of extremism, this type of rhetoric, this type of division, threats of violence was a Middle East thing. It seems like a lot of that was limited to the Middle East, and now we got it, Green said.
Interesting that they leave a hellhole, a place that they deem unlivable.
And then turn it into a hellhole in Dearborn.
And then they come here and turn it into what they just left. Interesting. Right. That's a weird take.
I'm sure these were peaceful protests.
Mostly. Especially right after the death to America.
Well, they do have one thing in common. They came here and they hate it here.
Dearborn also became the center of a protest movement against Biden last month, with activists from the town encouraging Democrats to vote uncommitted instead of supporting the president's reelection bid. So it's a big deal there. The Bazzi speech was followed by remarks from Michigan Imam Usama Abdul Ghani, who called Israel an evil settler colonist project and a cancer, while applauding those who are willing to publicly criticize the country. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are racist, Abdul Ghani said. The people of the world now know this.
Okay.
Protesters were then heard chanting "Free Palestine" and "From the River to the Sea," a controversial phrase classified as hate by the American Jewish Committee. According to Stilinski, this type of rhetoric has become common in Dearborn. I'm not saying that everyone in Dearborn is a terrorist, but there is a large amount of support for jihadi groups there. That's Stilinski. I'll go back and get you Stilinski's name. I think I can. I don't know who that is.
I don't remember what his first name was.
Yeah. Anyway, there. Dearborn was. You came here, and now you want death to where you are. Well, why are you here then?
And then when Americans stand up and push back against this nonsense, those Americans are labeled
racist.
As racist and haters and Islamophobia. What is it? Islamophobia. Yeah, the whole deal there.
Now, but locally,
Joe, that was going on. I know you mentioned this, but it was going on in Dearborn long before Hamas invaded Israel. Long before.
Dearborn's at what we call your hotbed.
Yeah. Dearborn is 55% people who claim Middle Eastern or North African ancestry. Wow. So over half of the city.
110%. Wow. Yeah.
Now, along those lines, yes, Kenny.
And Dearborn is a ghetto. Let's just, you know, be
honest.
Home
of the Henry Ford Museum.
Have you been there lately?
Not lately.
They got a nice country club over there?
I have been to Dearborn on occasions. I have not been lately.
Hasn't there been a lot of hijackings there?
Lock the doors, kids. Lock the doors.
What's the nice track over there? Golf.
In Dearborn?
Yeah, at least where the big leagues go.
I can't. Oakland something?
Wasn't that Tiger Meet Tiger? No. I thought you said it was the Detroit guy that called you that.
That was William Clay Ford, but it might not necessarily
have been. That was down in Florida.
Oh, I gotcha.
I've got an email.
Get my bag all set and put it in my trunk there, kiddo.
Joe, that ties it to the bill I brought your attention to the other day. Two Muslim neighbors, this is from an emailer, Diane. And then she sent backup material. Two Muslim neighborhoods are being proposed, one in Lakeville and one on Lionel Lakes, Forest Lake. From my understanding, nothing has been officially presented to the cities yet, but there is a lot of weird stuff circulating. And then she linked me to two articles about it, one from the American Experiment and one from the Press Publication, which is a community newspaper. There is also this, which appears to be a way for our state to push the homeless and probably illegal immigrants out to the suburbs. And then we have a story here from Press Publication, which would be like the Highland Villager or the White Bear Press or whatever. Social media posts swirl about Medina Lakes. M-A-D-I-N-A-H. And what we learn is that posts have been circulating on social media lately regarding Medina Lakes, a proposal for land located approximately 1.5 miles east of Lexington Avenue on the south side of County Road 14 near, what would that be, Lionel Lakes border with Blaine.
Right, Northern Metro.
Northern Metro, so... according to the website for the project, Medina Lakes will be the first of its kind. Master planned masjid-centric community. The 156-acre development would be home to over 450 families. The developer is Zakhar Holdings.
Not Cargill.
And the project is proposed to include apartments, townhomes, villas, single-family homes, senior, a park, soccer fields and tennis courts, restaurant, coffee and retail, daycare, banquet, and a $15 million, 40,000 square foot mosque. Okay. According to city planner Katie Larson, the city of Lionel Lakes has not yet received a land use application. We anticipate they will be doing that soon, she said. All right. President Faraz Youssef of Zakhar Holdings recently visited the Lionel Lakes Council to introduce himself to the community. How you doing?
Meet the fellas.
Yeah. And address some misconceptions.
Did he call anybody in the community infidels?
I don't think so.
How are you infidels doing today?
Right.
First of all, he said that Zakhar Holdings is in no way affiliated with Intergrit Properties, whatever that is. He also welcomed any members of the public, as well as the city council, to contact him directly with questions. I want to make it abundantly clear that we have no expectations of special treatment, nor have I or members of the city council struck any deals to bypass the steps necessary to make this project a reality, Youssef said. Our project aims to be one that is inclusive, open to everyone, and promotes peace and harmony. Okay, that may be so, but then why would anyone want, I mean, I...
Right.
Would you want to live there? I mean, if, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know. Nothing untoward about this that I'm aware of. Although it's Lionel Lakes, I would imagine that there might be a bit of a surprise to the people of Lionel Lakes, huh?
Now, where did the funding for the Lionel Lakes project come from?
Well, I'm looking here.
Because we do have a question about the funding down in Lakeville for the same style of project.
Now, you turn to Lakeville, and this is from the Center of the American Experiment. We get a residential development is proposed for a 36-acre site of undeveloped land that's linked to Feeding Our Future scandal.
Huh.
A development company located in Eden Prairie is eyeing a plot of land near I-35 in Lakeville for a unique project. According to the promotional materials, Nolosha Development has a vision. Our walkable community will make it easier to get around without a car. Just steps away, you'll find everything you need, including a mosque, an Islamic school, a tutoring center, a halal shop.
Hello.
And a variety of restaurants, cafes, and retail shops. Nolosha's website indicates that the initial 160 deposits for the project have already been spoken for. And the development already has a wait list.
Wow.
The project's early in its stages. According to records kept by the Minnesota Secretary of State's office, the LLC was founded in August of 22. Lakeville is the first project. A related nonprofit was founded a year earlier and is also headquartered in Eden Prairie. I want to know where the money's coming from.
Oh, well, it's pretty easy in this case.
The 3-minute promotional video currently appearing on Nolosha Development's homepage includes a map of the site. The site is in Lakeville, adjacent to I-35 northbound lanes, inconvenient to local shopping. There's a nice drawing of it here. Let's see. The property, feeding, okay, wait a minute now.
Yeah, there you go.
The property ID for the parcel above matches the property ID mentioned in a federal indictment in the Feeding Our Future scandal. In March of 2023, U.S. Attorney for Minnesota indicted a Bloomington businesswoman. The defendant, Ayan Abukar, is number 58 of 70, meaning people have been are charged.
Okay.
She is accused of taking some of the $5.8 million out of the free food programs to run through her nonprofit Action for East African People.
Got it.
She is accused of putting $1.5 million in ill-gotten proceeds towards the purchase of the property that we're discussing. That parcel is now subject to forfeiture in the Abukar case. According to Dakota County property records, the Lakeville parcel changed hands in 2021 and was reclassified from commercial to apartments. According to the document filed last month by State Attorney General Keith Ellison in a state court case against the Action for East African People, Abdirahman Siraj is Abukar's son.
What's he do?
It's not clear from the records what relationship exists between the developers behind Nolosha and the Abukar family, other than as potential buyers of the plot.
Somebody's got some money here.
So he's the kid, but he's not in the indictment. But still, that property should be...
I'm sure it's just coincidental.
Holy mackerel.
See?
Yeah. This is a good time to tell you about Sioux Falls.
Make a move. Forget Lionel Lakes, Blaine area. Make a real move.
This went on all over Europe and is still going on, and it's now taken hold in the last 10 years in this country. And Minneapolis, St. Paul, that area is not that special. Like we just said, it's happening in Dearborn. It's happening all over the United States.
Well, if you're thinking of moving your business, look at Sioux Falls, because we're going to continue to face unsustainable tax situation in this state. We're poorly led. We've had the worst government in the history of Minnesota, certainly the worst governor in the history of Minnesota. The Tax Foundation just released its State Business Tax Climate Index, and Minnesota is near the bottom with the 45th worst tax climate in the U.S.
Wow.
So when you go to Sioux Falls, you're in the second best tax climate in the U.S. So no matter what size business you own or you want to start anew, you can increase profits in Sioux Falls. Check everything out at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. And aside from taxes, you're going to pick up safe streets, award-winning schools, shorter commutes, vibrant growing downtown, and a pro-business attitude, all of which doesn't exist here.
Come on.
Sioux Falls has a motivated workforce, and they're ready to help your business grow. Find out what you need to know. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
'Garage Logic' town council member. Here's what you're missing.
What are you doing?
I'm eating an apple.
What are you doing, Joe?
Trying to get people concerned here.
Well, I tried getting your attention, the fact that we went 18 minutes long. Jesus.
What's wrong with that? It's a podcast. You can do whatever you want.
No.
Get her going here.
Oh, yeah.
See, we have these things called breaks in which ad insertions.
No, I know.
I mean, I can get you in on all the meetings if you'd like.
No.
You're good?
No.
Okay.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Is it germane to something?
Yes.
Town ball.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Souchere.
Mark from the East Side writes, "Dear Kenny and GL team, I was turned on to the GL podcast in October of 23. I've not missed a podcast since." Well, that's awesome, Mark. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Of course, that was the first time I heard about Seafoam. I was intrigued as I have a... Now, you're going to get mocked by Such, but I respect this. I have a 2003 Cadillac Escalade ESV with 300,000 miles on it.
I'm not going to mock that. I admire that.
She's a bit rusty, and the engine's been clanking and making strange noises for quite some time. That's when you turn the radio up, Mark. Maybe roll down the window, get some ambient noise to cover that up. I had vowed to let her run to the end without investing more money in it. I know that, too. It was clear to me that the end was near until I poured in a can of Seafoam motor treatment. The engine now purrs, and the extraneous noises simply disappeared. For the first time, I believe the engine will outlive the rust attack, and I now use Seafoam in all four of my vehicles. I love to hear that. Thank you for the strong Seafoam endorsement. For your information, FYI, the Deep Creep is amazing too. Mark, thank you for that email. And as you found out, you can find this stuff. Once you know what that red and white can of Seafoam looks like, you're going to start noticing it all over everywhere. Always in the automotive aisle, and sometimes you'll even see it in grocery stores. It's amazing. Truly a wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Seafoam.
Suchy boy.
Yeah.
Larry Herman is a member of the Garage Logic Town Council, weighing in on the topics at hand today. Hey, Reeves, I want to know the Faribault Lakers baseball schedule. No, I'm kidding. You aren't the only one that likes a good road trip. I am currently sitting, listening to you guys, in Paragon, Indiana, on a farm road, waiting for the eclipse. Drove down from Richfield yesterday. Extreme longtime listener from the Sunday night days. Very infrequent emailer, Larry. Listening
what
to
a
us?
Sap.
Oh, come on!
Well, you know he's been around for Larry, a while.
Larry.
What do you have against free spirits?
I'm kidding.
Let's hit the road.
I'm kidding.
Let's have some fun.
I think it sounds nifty.
Where is Paragon? I'm going to look that up. Paragon.
When he says he's sitting on a roadside in Indiana, I am seeing North by Northwest.
Indiana.
Right by the farm field.
Lord, I can't go back.
Used to be a sod farm.
Paragon.
The site of the new development in Lakeville, Medina.
Yeah.
That would be on the site of the Robinson Sod Farm. So there.
Okay.
And they're spraying where there ain't no wheat.
Now, down in Madison, Wisconsin, we learned from the Federalist that Madison is among several blue cities and states that use taxpayer-funded COVID money for programs for illegal immigrants.
Ooh.
A Wisconsin lawmaker is demanding answers from the city of Madison in the wake of a report showing the leftist enclave doled out hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal COVID relief funds to illegal immigrants. The decision to use pandemic relief money to assist illegal immigrants at the expense of Wisconsinites reveals the out-of-touch priorities of Madison politicians, Republican State Senator Dewey Strobel said Thursday. His office filed an open records request to investigate the city's questionable use of the federal funds. Why are there still COVID funds?
Mm.
I don't know.
We're done with COVID.
Shouldn't that have been given back?
No, isn't round two coming because it's another election?
Yeah, technically we'll never be done, Joe.
It's going to ramp up about late July, early August.
It appears the city officials tried to do an end round with their portion of the nearly $2 trillion in so-called stimulus funds that were handed out and simultaneously dumped onto the untenable U.S. debt by the American Rescue Plan Act. The Institute for Reforming Government Center for Investigative Oversight found the city approved Madison $700,000 from its share of state and local fiscal recovery funds to assist illegal immigrants. Records obtained show the money was handed out to area nonprofits that ultimately provided services to illegal aliens in Madison, despite those immigrants being largely ineligible to otherwise receive direct federal or state aid. Well, plus, what does it have to do with COVID?
Right.
Okay. Go and read it yourself. It's in the Federalist. I can't take it. I mean, we're
poorly.
We got
loaded.
An 11. Here.
Right here.
Where's the email related to this?
It's right there at the bottom of your stack. See it?
Still on your computer.
I got it. Hey, everybody. I'm here. I got it right here.
Yep.
All right.
Told you.
In the Pioneer Press, which is a local paper, we have a story of an urban farm on Minnehaha Avenue near Milton Street in what we call the Frogtown neighborhood.
Okay,
sure. You can also call it the North End.
Figure.
Right?
All right.
That farm grew and distributed 7,000 pounds of food last year, most of it landing on the plates of low-income St. Paul residents through partnerships with charities such as Feeding Frogtown and the Sane Foundation. Garlic zucchini.
Probably Santa, Tony Santa, I would imagine, from SBA.
S-A-N-N-E-H.
Yeah.
The garlic, zucchini, eggplants, beets, carrots, cabbages, tomatoes, and herbs were plentiful. The funding was not. Leaving Frogtown Farm, an 11-year-old nonprofit urban farming organization that operates on city parkland, shouldering a $150,000 budget deficit at the outset of the new growing season. Coming into an organization as executive director for my nonprofit work, said Lachelle Cunningham. Cunningham's a chef. The point is they want $500,000.
For a $150,000 bill?
No, so they gave out 7,000 pounds of food. And a guy did the math. That's about $71 a pound of food. That does not sound efficient.
No.
Here it is.
Welcome to farming.
Yeah. Cunningham. I have to go back to the beginning to tell you who Cunningham is. I probably should be able to do that. That would be Lachelle Cunningham, a healthy foods advocate who was hired last July as the organization's executive director. Her three-month employment contract is now being renewed month to month. And then we get down here where we say of Cunningham. Cunningham said the nonprofit operates on an annual budget of $500,000. All of it funded through piecemeal grants. as best as she could tell, digging through 40 separate email accounts and old annual reports, the nonprofit had not landed a grant larger than $50,000 in years or developed any kind of revenue-sharing partnerships such as sub-leases. It's springtime, Cunningham acknowledged, and the nonprofit still needs to raise $475,000 to keep basic growing and distribution operations afloat. It would take another $60,000 to restart educational programming and community outreach. Okay, let me go back to the beginning. They distributed 7,000 pounds of food last year.
Okay.
And it cost them $500,000 to do that. That's not competent. That's not efficient. Emailer Robert writes, I did the math. That's $71.43 a pound.
Woo.
That's ridiculous.
Do we know what the main overhead here is? Where is all the money being spent?
What could the overhead be? It's a plot of public land. Now, unless they built themselves a suite of offices.
Well, you got to pay the executive director.
What are you speculating then?
I'm speculating the money is being wasted. It's not resulting in efficient urban farming.
But it is resulting in poor people eating pretty damn good food.
For $71 a pound.
Yeah.
It's not costing the poor people anything.
No, it's not
anything.
Costing the poor people
your
anything.
Your dispute here is
my dispute, I guess, is with the executives. And it doesn't even sound like taxpayer money. It sounds like grants.
Well, then,
which could be taxpayer money.
Which is also
money.
Taxpayer yeah. money.
Well, we don't know that for sure unless it says that for sure. I don't see, if it's not taxpayer funded, who cares?
Well, my main amusement is that I bet you any farmer in the country would tell you you ought to be able to produce better than $71 a pound food.
Yes. Yeah, and those farmers would also tell you it's tough being a farmer.
But
you
got
to spend millions to make $100,000.
Yeah, but they don't. $71 a pound for zucchinis and tomatoes? That's a lot of money.
That must be mighty big.
So there you have it.
I'm not going to win anything here.
I'm not going to win either.
Oh, so. The big zucchinis. Where'd you get that big zucchini?
What are you babbling about?
They're probably huge zucchinis.
No, because see, that would still, if it was, it's per pound, see.
I just thought it was an example of fiduciary the distribution, incompetence.
The distribution fascinates me because you said that's part of the overhead is
that's
the distribution.
Right. Sure.
So I would like to get a breakdown of what that distribution
is. I don't have
it
for you.
It doesn't involve people actually showing up with a basket and taking it home.
It might very well.
Well, we don't know that.
What do you know?
Well, I do know. I'm wondering why we're doing this story.
Because I think $71 a pound for food is crazy.
Well, I agree. That's a little high, but let's break it down and talk about it and find out where these expenses are and what we can do to drop them. And then let's find out if these grants come from public money or not. I want to know more. This is intriguing.
I'm looking here.
I'm looking.
John, you had a calculator out. What are you doing?
I did. Well, I was trying to make sure the numbers were correct.
Yeah, crunch the numbers.
Oh, yeah, we do have
crunch
that issue
numbers.
Here. But no, those numbers, I think, came from a guy that emailed Joe, if I remember him saying.
Oh, so it wasn't us. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
it was us. Guy should have done his homework and crunched the numbers for us.
They
get money from lots of different groups, including the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
That's farmers get money from those guys, too.
I know. They
How big is the plot, Joe?
Money.
I know you said
1,000
that.
Acres, Kenny.
Come on, it
no,
is
No, I have no idea how big the plot is. Reporting isn't what it used to be. Let's see if we get an acreage here. It's an 11-year-old nonprofit on the north end. It's a public park. I bet you it's not 100 acres.
Oh, God, can you imagine gardening 100 acres?
Okay, oof, I don't know what it is, but now I'm going there. I'm going to drive to the damn place.
Okay. Let's check it out.
What are you going to buy?
Some zucchini.
Got it.
$71 a pound. Really good stuff, though.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
That was from 2020.
In December, the Urban Farms 8-year lease with the city of St. Paul expired.
Okay.
The nonprofit continues to maintain its hoop house. I don't know what that is.
That's a greenhouse, a portable greenhouse.
Three growing fields, outdoor pizza oven, sizable storage containers, and two work shacks on the 5.5-acre site.
So let's just say half an acre for all those buildings and, well, 1 acre. So let's just say it's 4 acres of tillable. That is, you're right, Joe. That's a lot of money.
And a spokesman for St. Paul Parks and Rec said it was not uncommon for the city to test the market after a lease expires and issue an RFP, whatever the hell that is, to see what different organizations might bring to the table.
Oh. So it sounds like St. Paul is doing their due diligence.
It sounds like possibly the food farm will not go forward, or else it will. It'll still prevail over other ideas that people might have for the property.
You know, what they need is cash flow. Why don't they sell half of everything they grow to fund this garden? Set up a, you know,
okay,
little stand.
Why do they have a pizza oven?
You're getting hungry watching the zucchini grow.
I've got one in my shop for shop pizza, but it's, you know.
What's it called, a microwave?
No, it's just a, it's a little box that you can. A
little pizza oven, sure.
Yeah, it just cooks pizza.
Like an air fryer, small air fryer.
I also put knives in there to treat them, temper them.
Nice.
So my pizza oven has two uses.
There's the commercial division and the industrial division.
But you're right. Maybe they need to show a little cash flow, and maybe the people that are on the receiving end need to show up with their, you know, baskets. This distribution figure is a bit outrageous.
I hope you had a chance to grill. Yesterday was not an ideal grilling day, but Saturday was.
How about this coming weekend?
And this coming weekend to be a Grunhofer Madhouse grilling weekend.
I will give you a report that my rookie burgers were cooked on the Blackstone to perfection.
What day?
Friday? Was Friday.
Yeah, because Sunday was rain. Yesterday was rainy.
Right, and then
is the opener going to be this Friday?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Oh, that's a good point.
But I also forgot about in the freezer, I forgot that I had bought the brats. So that's going to be coming. No, that's okay. It's going to be coming up the next couple of days.
You know what it is? It's Masters weekend.
Oh, boy.
You put the golf on, you grill Grunhofer's food.
So we should all call you at all points throughout the entire weekend.
Grunhofer's Old Fashioned Meats, the flagship store in Hugo, just north of Hugo on Highway 61. The store in Forest Lakes, just east of 35E on 97. And the brand new store in White Bear Lake on Highway 96 in, what is that, Birch Lake Square?
Yep.
And you can't miss it.
No.
And that's where Rook got his Easter hams.
I'd do it again, too. I'd do it again. She's making the split pea soup for dinner tonight.
I sneeze thinking of the food.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, by the way.
Burgers, brats, steaks, chops, ham, fish, you name it, bacon, thick double-smoked ham.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And bacon. It's all in...
Beef sticks. Beef sticks.
You get emotional thinking about it.
I do. Wow. I
brought home half a dozen beef sticks. Gabe had them gone in a day.
Well, is it any wonder?
Horseradish. They're
Grunhofer's old-fashioned meat is absolutely the best.
What are we waiting on?
That was fun. Let's do another one.
Yeah, what about...
Apologies to Tom upstairs.
Top 10 Super Bowl ads?
Yes. Here's a guy looking at his phone.
Well, before I say to John...
I need to tell you about Linda Keller.
Okay.
Or would you like to...
No, go ahead.
All right. I got a text from Linda this morning, as a matter of fact. Hi, Chris. I'm not sure what day my ad runs this week. I'm way behind on shows. I apologize to you and the crew, but wanted to let you know that I am booked through April 15th, but I can still help the procrastinators with an extension if they contact me by Friday. So if you dum-dums have been waiting and you're on the whatever, file that extension, but you can still get in touch with Linda Keller and Keller Tax Service. She also wanted me to mention this. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the GLers that have reached out. The response has been huge. This also includes a big-time gratitude for you, Kenny, and John for letting everyone know about my service. It made all the difference in the world. Please tell the entire crew and the listeners, thank you, thank you, thank you. She's the best. Linda Keller, KellerTaxService.com. Like we said, she's booked solid, but you know what? Still reach out if you've filed that extension, but go to her website, KellerTaxService.com. You can see right there all the tax law changes and everything on her website. And also, if she has any availability left, it'll be right there on her website. But also, make sure that you mention the Garage Logic podcast because Linda is the best.
I was just going to say before John that... The Save Our Streets people made the newspaper over the weekend, and not for their childish attempt to replace 94, but they're having trouble getting any events to close a street this summer. I mean, they can't. Nobody wants to pay, and nobody wants to back it up. So they're failing even at their menial tasks, much less
that's interesting.
Trying to redo the whole freeway. Downing has a note on that closing of the freeway that's worth mentioning. It's in my pile here. Regarding the people that want to shut down I-94, Rookie hit the nail on the head. Yeah. These folks don't want diversity. They want conformity. And the mayor was trying to find the right word for their lack of understanding of the real world. I'd say they are naively ignorant. As someone who has lived in St. Paul a long time, I already avoid the freeway and take alternate routes, especially during congested rush hours. Can you imagine if everyone was forced to do so? And can you imagine the impact on what's left of the historic Rondo neighborhood? Streets packed with cars of outsiders, children unsafe. Once again, the poor and the minorities hit the hardest. If they don't like the freeway, maybe they should just ask Kathy Cargill to put in an offer. She could use the 7-mile stretch for a private racetrack and airstrip.
Yeah. That's my a good friend, idea.
I missed the part where I was right on something. What was I right on?
They don't want diversity. They want conformity. I can't believe you said that, but according to Downing, you said that.
I remember saying that.
Somebody must have sent that to me.
Yeah, yeah. Matthew, you're brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to go back to turn the off switch back on now.
Got a message to you, Joe?
Marjorie Taylor Greene said, the eclipse is a sign that we must repent.
Oh, yeah. It's a sign from God, she said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't somebody put a sock in that windbag's
Come
mouth?
Come on. Get out of here, lady. Your ecliptical measures.
It did freak natural occurrences like that. Had a tendency to freak out our Native Americans back in the way back.
The way back.
Yep.
Did you want me to do news, Joe?
Here's John Height.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. Did you know the eclipse forced the Yankees to change their game time, which I don't quite understand?
Really?
They were supposed to start at 1:05 today against Miami, and they moved the game to 6:05 or 5:05 our time.
Did they think they wouldn't draw anybody because everybody would be watching the eclipse?
I think they thought – I don't know what they thought. Apparently, MLB asked them to move it, which I don't understand, but what do I know?
What a shame that the Dodgers are coming in here
right
with this dreadful weather.
Yeah.
Is Ohtani pitching, I wonder?
He's not pitching.
He's got the bad arm.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him with his LA Dodgers hat on, and then somebody had written in P-A-R and then a Y, so parlay.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was very clever.
Wow.
I think the Twins will get it in tonight, John.
Good.
You want more baseball insights like that?
Yeah.
Let me know.
Hard hitting.
Good stuff.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
Contribution.
I think I may have said it already, but let me repeat if I didn't. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. We were talking about traffic a minute ago, and there's some heavy traffic things going on in my neck of the woods. This is going to cause some issues. MnDOT tonight set to begin work on a 19-mile stretch of Highway 65 through Spring Lake Park, Blaine, Ham Lake, and East Bethel, starting with lane closures in both directions between 85th and 105th Avenues Northeast from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for the next three nights. Then by the end of the month, work on resurfacing Highway 65 gets underway between County Road 10 and 237th Avenue Northeast. Drivers will be shifted to one side of the road with one lane of head-to-head traffic each direction there. Work also includes replacing bridges with culverts at Coon Creek, just south of Viking Boulevard and north of Constance Boulevard. The $40 million project also includes the installation of new cable median barriers in, between Bunker Lake Boulevard, 237th Avenue. And as we...
Huh? Oh, God. John, you froze up. You froze up, John.
He's not moving.
He's... Johnny, are you cold?
He could have had a stroke. Now he's back.
You moved, John. You froze for a minute. And you froze again.
Hello?
Johnny, that's a cool trick. How do you do that?
I'm not sure. Can
you're
you
freezing
hear me?
Up.
You're back.
He's back.
Okay, you guys are back. So anyway, it's going to be
that's
just
enough of that road story anyway.
No,
it was very dull.
No. That was, you know what that was? That story and that project? For traffic reporters, that's 6:30, 7, and 7:30. I don't have to do jack S. All I have to do and is if you look at a few cameras. Here, and yeah,
that is a huge, huge story.
That's a long stretch, John, a very long stretch.
Yeah, and it's always really busy up that way, so it's going to be even worse all summer.
You know what I would like them to do, John, is I'd like them to close that down altogether and then put overpasses at every single one of those intersections.
Well, they are doing that later. That's part of the later project.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that comes, can we have some other news?
That comes next summer. See, it's not in Joe's neighborhood, so he doesn't really care.
Right.
That's
so.
Right.
Doesn't concern me. But I love it.
You talk about ripping up Maine, he's going to be all over
doesn't
you.
Doesn't concern me.
Right.
So now every time he asks me how to come up here from now on until this is done, I'm going to tell him to take 65.
Does Andover have a downtown?
I never use 65, no matter where I'm going.
Okay.
We do have breaking news to the Garage Logic podcast Twitter account from loyal listener Mike. A up-to-date breaking photo of the eclipse in his backyard in Rosemont.
Oh,
it's great.
That cloudy sky.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Still going after it, though.
John, just one more thing regarding that story. Now, the next time Joe does go up to your place, he's going to have to go through Now Then first.
Now Then first.
Yeah. So go over to University Highway 47, go up to Now Then, and then start taking back roads back down to...
Andover, St. Francis and Andover.
Yeah.
In other news, police and SWAT team members safely resolved an incident in South St. Paul last night. It all started about 3:30 in the afternoon. Officers responding to an apartment building in the 200 block of Marie Avenue on a report of a disturbance with someone threatening another person with a firearm. When police got there, they found a man in the hallway of a building with a rifle. He wouldn't listen to commands and ran back into an apartment. At that point, officers ended up assisting in evacuating nearby apartments. Authorities tried to negotiate with the man for about 2 hours before requesting help from South Metro SWAT. And then about 10 o'clock last night, members of the SWAT team used a chemical irritant in the apartment, took the suspect into custody. He's a 62-year-old South St. Paul man. He was treated for injuries during arrest. An investigation is being conducted by the South St. Paul Police Department, and more info will be released as it becomes available. The reward money is growing for more information related to a fire that destroyed an office building in Golden Valley earlier this year. Now, you'll remember this. We talked about it when it happened. The owners of three conservative political groups based in Golden Valley were the target of several fires, which investigators believe were intentionally set back in late January. Center of the American Experiment, Take Charge Minnesota, and the Upper Midwest Legal Center all had fires set in the hallways of the office complex where they rent space. Luckily, nobody was injured, and the owners of those groups said there is now a $100,000 reward to help solve that.
That'll find this creep.
Yeah, let's go.
John Hinderacher, president of Center for the American Experiment, told our friends at 5 Eyewitness News the three groups were a little unnerved by the arson, but he says it's now being investigated by the FBI and the ATF. Star Tribune reporting a man from Hugo has admitted to embezzling more than $1.3 million from the truck repair company he worked for, and he spent the money on luxury purchases.
55-year-old Leon Keener pleaded guilty in U.S. District Court last week to mail fraud in connection with a scheme he ran from 2015 through 2022 while he was a service manager for the I-State Truck Center's location in Inver Grove Heights. He used some of the money to buy some cars and a boat and fund gambling trips to Las Vegas. The plea agreement says the federal guidelines point to a sentence ranging from slightly less than 3.5 years to 5.25 years in prison. However, federal judges have full discretion. When sentencing defendants, they're not bound by any guidelines calculation. He remains free on bond ahead of sentencing. Court records show that Keener's criminal history in Minnesota includes a felony theft conviction back in 2002 and 3 earlier theft convictions involving.
How do you steal that amount of money?
Doesn't he also have to just get the money? He's got to give the money back, doesn't he? He's got to find it.
I did not see that in the story.
What an idiot. What he should have done was told everybody he was feeding, you know, the feeding poor kids. Right.
Feeding kids. Right. Yeah. There were 5,000 kids around the block last
Every single day.
We'll have national and international stuff for you in just a moment. But first, let's hear from our esteemed mayor.
I don't know when the official garage door opener would be. We're bearing down on it. Make sure your garage door is working properly.
I'm seeing 59 for a high on Friday.
That doesn't sound like Friday. Right. But get a hold of Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities and Western Wisconsin just to be sure you're going to go up and down on the day of the opener. They don't charge more for weekends. They want to arrive at your place. They want to complete it on day one. They don't want to waste your time. They generally have every part they need in the truck, so you don't hear that old saw about, I got to run back to the shop and get a nut and bolt. No, they really have that stuff with them, and they have springs and rollers and the whole deal. They'll fix your app to open the door. Whatever you need
what
for
you
your
got?
Garage.
Let's go.
Plus, they'll text you when they're on the way and say, here we are. We're going to be there in about 30 minutes. It's a great operation. Plus, if you need a door,
yeah,
they'll fix you up with
they
a door,
can help you
a
out.
New door. It's Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities. Find them at precisiondoormn.com or call Precision Door at 612-263-6985.
Right.
He's available to Chris Reavers. Here's Joe Souchere.
Why does this work, Reavers?
We already got a liner. We don't need you. Just stand down, Souchere. Stand down.
Did you hit a button?
End of the world disappeared.
Okay, I'll watch.
It's all right. We've heard that one enough.
None of these work.
Well, that's good. So that's probably good. We'll be just be done with it once and for all.
Call the liner.
We'll be done with
reality
all.
With a butt. Hey. The Joe Souchere Show. Easy for me to say.
Chris Corley.
Fellas, what are you thinking about this recent rain you're getting down there? Are the lawns going to be green by the end of the week?
Oh, yes.
I know the ProTurf lawns will. John, yours will definitely be green by the end of the week. Has a ProTurf hose dragger been there yet?
Yeah, he was there Friday.
Nice for me.
They'll get around to you real soon. Who are you again? Matthew.
Brooke. That's Brooke.
Gene.
Yeah. And the reason why is you made that click long, long ago. You learned from hanging out with me that beautiful lawn, all you do is click on this thing, set up a free, no obligation consultation. ProTurf guy's going to come out, look around, design a program just for your lawn. And all of a sudden, a healthy, beautiful lawn from April to November, it's all yours. No crabgrass, no dandelions, no broadleaf weeds. And it all starts the same way. Clicking on professionalturf.com to schedule that free in-person estimate. But when you get to that website, I'd like to have you linger just a little bit. Just start clicking around. Go deep in the tabs, and you're going to see some amazing landscape projects that ProTurf has done in the last few years. They really get after it with the landscaping. You know, there's three divisions, actually, to ProTurf. It's the lawn care, it's the landscape, and irrigation service. So if you you have an irrigation system, you need it woke up in the spring, put to bed in the fall, ProTurf can do that for you. Check them out. That free estimate, it can be yours, professionalturf.com. John?
They,
Thank you, Kenny. In national and international news, Wall Street Journal reporting this morning, presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says abortion should be left to the states, avoiding a position on the number of weeks at which the procedure should be banned as he tries to navigate an issue that has animated Democrats and had abortion supporters, get to the polls. He said in a campaign video, "My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it. From a legal standpoint, the states will determine by voter legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land. Many states will be different. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people," unquote. The former president's stance not likely to please religious conservatives who want him to embrace tougher restrictions, and one group already expressing disappointment. In a statement right after the former president's statement came out this morning, Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America president Marjorie Danilfelser said she was deeply disappointed in Trump's refusal to endorse a federal ban on abortion. President Biden plans to announce a large-scale effort today to help pay off student loans for tens of millions of American borrowers, seeking an election year boost by returning to a promise that was blocked by the Supreme Court last year. White House officials said on Sunday the president's plan would reduce the amount 23 million borrowers still owe on their undergraduate and graduate loans. It would wipe away the entire amount for more than 4 million Americans. They said that 10 million borrowers would see debt relief of $5,000 or more. He is set to announce that up near us in Madison, Wisconsin, as other members of his administration fan out to other cities to do the same.
Will he pick up some of our debts?
That'd be nice.
Israel said yesterday, the six-month mark of the conflict in Gaza, that it was withdrawing all but one brigade from the south of the enclave, describing the move as an opportunity for troops to rest and retool for the next chapter of the war. The Israel Defense Forces said in a statement its 98th Commando Division, which consists of special ground forces, had concluded its mission in the city of Khan Yunis and left Gaza to recuperate and prepare for future operations. The Vatican this morning declaring gender-affirming surgery and surrogacy as grave violations of human dignity, putting them on par with abortion and euthanasia as practices that reject God's plan for human life. The Vatican's Doctrine Office issued Infinite Dignity, a 20-page declaration that's been in the works for 5 years. After substantial revision in recent months, it was approved March 25th by Pope Francis, who ordered its publication. In its most eagerly anticipated section, the Vatican repeated its rejection of gender theory, or the idea that one's gender can be changed. It said God created man and woman as biologically different, separate beings, and said people must not tinker with that plan or try to make oneself God.
Did he say God. Tinker? Yeah. Did he say tinker? Because yeah. That would
I'm
be a fun
surprised
word for a pope.
He came around to this view. He was certainly headed the other way, wasn't he?
Trump Media and Technology Group shares dropped off early again today. The chief executive, though, of the Truth Social parent declined to predict when the company might become profitable, but pointed to a growing investor base despite the stock's sharp fall last week. Trump Media shares down 8.4% this morning. Since being acquired by Digital World Acquisition Corp, and former President Trump's stake in the company has fallen almost $2 billion. It was worth $5 billion when the deal happened. It's now worth about $3.1 billion. The company's CEO, Devin Nunes, appeared on Fox News yesterday. He was asked when Trump Media might make a profit. He declined to make a prediction, but said the company appeared to be in a good position. Powerball player in Oregon won the jackpot on Saturday night.
How do you know if you won anything?
You look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, is getting one number worth something?
No.
Oh.
You got to get a Powerball or something.
Powerball and a number.
Yeah, or... Three numbers?
$2.
Sure.
Yeah.
The winless streak had stretched more than 3 months. It was just one single ticket that won.
Wow.
Matched all six numbers drawn to win the jackpot, which was worth about $1.326 billion. The jackpot has a cash value of $621 million if the winner chooses to take the lump sum rather than the annuity paid over 30 years. The prize is subject to federal taxes, and a lot of states also tax lottery.
There are 13 states that don't tax lottery winnings, and one of them is California. If that person in Oregon is going to pay $319 million after taxes, if you're in California, you would get $391 million, I read.
Huh. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. An employee shot in the leg inside a Chipotle restaurant in Detroit Friday night, according to local reports. Apparently, it all happened because of a dispute over guacamole.
Chipotle. You know, if it must be good, it's probably pretty good.
They do have good guacamole, but I don't think I want to get shot over it.
I don't like guacamole.
Oh, you're wrong.
God, you are wrong.
No, wrong. He couldn't be more correct.
Thank you.
You guys are nuts.
First of all, there's no taste.
No, yeah. That's not true. That's not true.
Right. And it always makes you throw up.
Yeah.
You know what it
never
is?
Never makes me throw
up. You also don't like pico time. De gallo.
No, it's green.
I understand that, but pico
What's pico de gallo?
It's neon green.
It's inside.
You don't like cilantro.
Right.
Oh, can't stand
that's
it.
That's why you don't like guacamole. Oh.
Well, guacamole doesn't have to have pico, Chris.
Cilantro? But, isn't that a Hyundai? That's a car.
Yeah. Four-door. It's a four-door, I believe. Yeah.
I think three-quarters of the Spanish or Mexican food I eat has both guacamole and pico de gallo on it, so I don't think you'd like it.
Hey, no, I would not.
Back to me for a second.
You just finished the gambling segment.
Am I taking a big gamble with this Croatian trip? Because I'm looking at Mount Etna. If that thing blows, does that spill over the Adriatic Sea to Croatia?
Mount Etna ain't anywhere near Croatia.
Well, it's in Sicily, but everything's pretty packed in there.
Yeah, you'd be dead. You would not be coming back.
You better stay home.
Well, then it's going to be your last trip, folks. So call right now.
Yeah.
It's a hell of an ad.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
Let's go out on top.
Baby, you got to go. Jeez. Anyway, kid got shot over guacamole, 21 years old. Apparently he went...
Is he okay? Is he alive?
He got shot in the leg.
Oh.
Apparently, the fellow went back behind the counter to try to grab his own guacamole. The kid fought with him, and so the guy pulled a gun and shot him in the leg and took off.
Yeah. Guacamole, that's worth shooting somebody.
Well, rolled up in court.
That's a leg shot, guacamole.
Garage Logic Town Council Member Larry has weighed back in about the eclipse. This is the third eclipse that I've tried to see, Mr. Mayor, for your information. Mm-hmm. First one was back in the 80s. Me and my old girlfriend, Stephanie, you can keep that running, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Flew to Hawaii. Cloudy.
Oh.
Went to Missouri a few years ago. Cloudy. Today looks absolutely perfect. That's why I'm telling everybody.
Where is he?
He's down in that city in Indiana.
That
Oh, she's the guy on the side of the road?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Such, that should be a liner.
It always has been.
No, I mean out of every break.
Yeah, you can leave
can
that
keep
running,
that running, baby.
Out of every break.
John, why don't we wrap it up?
Yeah, let me do one more food one.
Sure.
Oh, you can leave that running, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you. Police in Ohio trying to track down a man who pulled a gun on a Burger King employee over the weekend because he was mad. You know what he was mad about?
Guacamole. What to do with fries.
He was mad that they gave him a discount on his food.
Why would that
That's
anger
right.
Him?
I have no idea. The incident took place in the Cleveland suburb of Willowick. When, according to the employee, the customer flipped out after learning his order was cheaper than he expected it to be. He said to me, my order can't be right. It should be $11. And I'm trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on and, like, it's cheaper. And he started cussing and getting all loud. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you want to pay more money.
A lot of likes there.
There is. The employee said the man sped away before returning to the drive-thru window, pulling out a gun and threatening him. Police released images of the suspect from surveillance video. They've asked the public for help identifying the man.
That just makes no sense to complain about that. Why don't we return shortly?
But first, I need to let you and all of the jailers know about the best water going right now. I have been a proud customer of Hofferman Water and Kinetico for years, and I know that you will be happy if you decide to make the switch. So here's the deal. Get on the schedule right now and have them come out for that free water analysis by calling 612-895-2440, or you can just visit their website, which is, of course, HoffermanWater.com. You get that new system from Kinetico and Hofferman, and all of a sudden, it will cut down on your salt usage, but it's going to protect your appliances. It's going to make your showers better, your laundry better, your cooking, your drinking water, your ice, everything. Coffee, too, by the way. Mm. Everything improves with Hofferman Water and Kinetico, and it doesn't matter. Even if you're in the market for a rental option, they can take care of you with a brand new system, whether it's drinking water, water softener, or iron, rust, and odor filtration systems. They've got it all. And that's because Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please let them know that you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast. for the word, bruh.
Well, the word is the bird.
Box talk.
Or the bird is the word. Let me see if...
And should I reset your thing? Here we go.
What is this?
The Earth is not your mother.
Dylan,
the Joe Soucheray Show.
Did you go back and find some of those old ones, did you, Chris?
This is just cool.
Sorry, cheap shot.
Love this. Play
this. Yeah, this one's cool. This one's cool.
I like the bass. Sir. I like the bass.
I have some information on the blooming of my lilacs.
Uh-oh.
Finally.
Isn't this early?
Joe, in the past, you have made the observation that lilacs bloom about the same time every year and that it relates to the temperature. Temperature has very little to do with when lilacs bloom.
Length
plants have a vegetative phase when they grow roots, stalks, and leaves, and a reproductive phase when they produce blossoms, fruit, and seeds. The timing of these phases is governed by photoperiod, that is, how many hours of daylight there is in a 24-hour day. The climate does not affect photoperiod. That is why your lilacs bloom at the same time every year.
Matthew's grandpa could have told you that had his own private garden in his backyard.
Surrounded by lilacs to throw off the scent of the dogs. And Steve.
I've noticed that they're budding. There's a little bit of budding going on.
I've seen some confused tulips out there as well.
Yep, and birch trees are a little budding taking place.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's not warm at all. So it's photoperiod.
I've seen.
I can tell you what the length of the day is. Give me a second. I'll look it up for
12
you.
12 hours.
This spring.
Well, I know that.
I've seen an excessive amount of slow rabbits decaying in the streets.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Well, they didn't make it. They're slow.
Do you have windows you can see out of?
Mostly.
Because those are the best
kind. I do need some new windows.
Well, Renewal by Anderson's the answer.
I got to do it.
And you know they are because you've heard about them all your life.
Think of how great you can watch that eclipse
right through that
renewal window.
They're a J.D. Power Award winner. They have the most five-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities area among leading full-service window replacement companies. All of that's verifiable on their website. You can get all the proof.
Dope.
They just don't say this stuff. They say it because it's actually happened. Log on to renewalbyanderson.com to see where and how they received these marvelous statistics. They are the best, and they can prove it. So if you're in the market for windows, check out Renewal's Acclaim Replacement Windows. It's the best engineering and innovation you're going to find. And it's not just windows, patio doors, entry doors. Renewal by Anderson has you covered. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931.
First light, 6:16 a.m. Mm-hmm. Last light, 8:31. How long is that day?
14 and a half hours.
Yeah, 14 hours, 16 minutes.
According to this, it's 13 hours and 16 minutes.
Well, that's wrong.
14, yeah.
Plus, it ain't light out tonight at 8:30.
Last light, 8:31.
You'd call sunset, that civil twilight.
Sunset time, 8:02. However, that is here, which is 7 minutes west of you as far as the sunset goes.
Hmm.
So your sunset goes down at, what would that be, 7?
7:50, I believe.
Only because, 54? Which is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, only because they are arriving from Apache Junction, Arizona, from the Traveling Lymans at worldwidewaftage.com. It was on this day,
April 8th.
In 1897, the Red River crested in Moorhead, and the floodwaters drove 300 people from their homes. It was on this day.
4-8?
Christened by Rosemarie Schaller of Hastings, the battleship Minnesota was launched in Newport News, Virginia.
Mm.
On this day,
April 8th,
in 1911, Melvin Kelvin was born in St. Paul. Worked as a biochemist Decades later, Calvin discovered the details of the photosynthesis process and was awarded a Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1961. Hmm. And finally, on this day...
You're talking about April 8th.
In 1953, responding to the first ever sit-down strike at the Minnesota State Prison in Stillwater, Warden Carl Jackson met the prisoners' demands for nourishing sanitary food by firing the prison chef. During the strike, which began on April 7th, that was only a two-day strike.
Chef is funny.
The lockdown prisoners littered the corridors with trash and broke a number of windows.
Ooh.
But out of that...
And they were replaced with
renewal, which is right down in the Stillwater area.
Bars and all.
Which is what happens on this day in history.
You're talking about the day of the rare once-in-a-lifetime solar eclipse.
Yeah, it's never happened before.
Total, though. This is a total
solar eclipse. You ain't got no totality here.
Can you look at it?
I would.
I just retweeted a video from Chile in which it's pretty cool.
Is it on like Donkey Kong?
Well, what's cool about it? Have you seen one before?
Never.
The moon slides in front of the sun and bing, bang, boom.
Why are you ruining it for me?
When is the Patrick Royce, Joe Souchere box project going to take
place? Box talk will
I'm not
commence.
Engaging in any of that, and I'm not holding the box.
By the looks of it, I can see him warming up right
so,
now.
Did you, sounds like there's a chance.
Did you honor his request and take the weekend to think about it?
I did. I thought about it.
Okay, good. Hey, don't forget the Target Field Takeover, Garage Logic Town Council members. No.
Oh.
Thursday, May 9th is the day, and that's right. We are headed back to Target Field to play a little hooky. It is a day game on Thursday, May 9th. All you have to do is go claim your tickets if you are already a Garage Logic Town Council member. They're free and on a first-come, first-served basis. Claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. If you're not a town council member, not a problem. Just join the council, and then you can claim your tickets as well. Learn more, sign up, and claim your tickets at GarageLogic.com.
All I can say is, after the incident here, Joe's going to be hosed down like Meryl Streep was in Silkwood. Fire hose and all.
Hold still.
Still swaying.